Hi, welcome to Be Lectures. Once again, we are on chapter 11, and from now onwards, we are going to touch upon very, very important aspect of banking fundamental. That is, we are going to understand who is a customer. A customer is a lifeblood in a banking system. Without a customer, a banking business cannot be commenced. But the problem is, we should be very clear as to who is a customer. Does every visitor to the branch can be called a customer? Can any passerby who just looks at the board of the bank, at the ambience of the branch, be called a customer? Nowadays, in our electronic era, whether any web user who simply browses the website of various banking companies be called a customer? The answer will be definitely no. And how can we say the answer is no? Because again, the real meaning of customer has been backed by certain explanations provided by various experts in banking, as well as certain inclusive definitions in the laws and the judgments given by various legal authorities. So friends, chapter 11 will make crystal clear about who a customer is. When we move on to chapter 13, in which we are going to understand what are the KYC, know your customer norms, we will find another definition of a customer which has been defined for fulfilling the KYC norms. So let's begin with who the customer is. Your chapter 11 tells us who a customer is. This is imperative as bankers have obligations to customers. Since the banker-customer relationship is established on the basis of a contract, when an account opening form is submitted to a banker, duly filled and signed by the customer, the banker and the customer agrees to follow certain terms and conditions. Both the banker and the customer get certain rights. At the same time, they need to fulfill certain obligations based on these contractual relationships, and hence it is imperative as a banker to understand who a customer is, and that will help you to perform your applications towards the customers. Having seen the importance of a customer in the banking business, now we should try to search, is the customer defined anywhere? Like we saw the definition of banker, which is an inclusive definition and not clearly defined in any law, a customer is also not explicitly defined in a law. A customer has been defined in an inclusive manner, and it is therefore incumbent to review the definitions to determine who a customer is. This is imperative, as it will be seen later that the customers have rights and the bankers have obligations to the customers. Sir John Paget, a leading authority in banking, says, to constitute a customer, there must be some recognizable course or habit of dealing. What should be the course and the habit of dealing? This course and the habit of dealing should be in the nature of regular banking business, that an isolated transaction of that nature or series of transaction not commonly associated with banking is not sufficient. So it simply means there must be some recognizable course or habit of dealing in the nature of regular banking business. That is the first part. And an isolated transaction of that nature or a series of transactions not commonly associated with banking is not sufficient. So the dealing in the nature of regular banking is very important as per Sir John Paget. To constitute a customer, a person has to satisfy two conditions. Number one, there has to be some recognizable course or habit of dealing with him and the bank. He should be regularly dealing with the bank. The transaction should be in the nature of regular banking business, which means any passerby who looks at your signboard, who looks at the display of products or the banners, or simply visits the bank's websites for collecting information may not be constituted as a customer, may not be considered as a customer. There is something called duration theory. Like we have seen in the previous slide, it should be a regular transaction. So, a single transaction may not be considered as an eligibility for declaring a person as a customer. What does the duration theory say? A single transaction may not constitute a customer. I require a draft. I simply go to the bank's branch, purchase a draft. That's it. My activity is over. So it is just a single transaction which I am performing. So such a single transaction may not constitute a customer. The duration theory was applied in Matthews versus Williams, Brown and Company, and it was held that in order to make a person a customer of a bank, he should have some sort of an account. So having an account is a must rather than doing just a single one-off transaction. The initial transaction of opening an account does not set up the relationship of a banker and customer unless there is some measure of continuity and custom. So this was specifically held in the case of Matthews versus Williams Brown and Company, wherein a single transaction would not amount to declaring a person as a customer, and that single transaction may also come in the form of initial transaction for opening an account. What was essential is there should be some measure of continuity and custom. this duration theory was overturned in the case of Ledbroke versus Todd. The judge said the relation of a banker and a customer begins as soon as the first check is paid and accepted for collection, and not merely when it is paid. So this was a landmark judgment in which the duration theory was overturned, and which said that the relationship of a banker and a customer begins as soon as the first check is paid. A person becomes a customer of a bank when he goes to the bank with money or a check and asks to have an account opened in his name. So the first part is, a customer comes to the bank either with money or a check, requests the bank to open an account, and the bank accepts the money or check, as well as is prepared to open an account in the name of that person. As soon as part one by the customer, part two by the banker, customer brings in money, banks accept it. The moment it is accepted, a person becomes a customer of a bank, and after that the person is entitled to be called a customer of the bank, which was very well established after the overturning of the duration theory. Can a thief be considered as a customer? We have a famous case in which a thief opened an account. He also brought in money, but that money was in the form of a stolen check. He was not introduced to the bank and no references were obtained. This was a very old case. The thief forged an endorsement on the check, and surprisingly, the check was cleared and the thief simply drew out the proceeds and was not traceable. The question arose whether the thief was a customer within the meaning of Section 82 of the Bill of Exchange Act 1882. What do you think? It was held that the first transaction created the relationship. Whatever negligence was done by the bank, it had opened an account without obtaining any introduction and no references were obtained. The bank would be held liable for such irregularities, and the relationship was clearly established because the requirements of a customer were met. The part which was having problem was the negligence on the part of the bank for opening an account without obtaining any introduction, without obtaining any references, and failing to see the forgery of endorsement. We are focusing on the concept of a customer. If we want to see, can a thief be considered as a customer? Based on the pure requirements, he is a customer because the relationship has been established. But whatever the drawbacks has happened because of some other negligent activities. In the case of Savory versus Lloyds Bank Limited, it was held that a single transaction also will constitute a customer, and it stated that a person becomes a customer of a bank the moment his check is accepted for collection. The frequency of transaction is not essential to constitute a customer. His position must be such that the transactions are likely or could be frequent. So one after the other, we see how the concepts are getting better and better, not only because of the explanations given by the leading authorities, but also the judgments given by various courts on interpreting the meaning based on the business context. The decision given in the previous slide was supported by Lord Dunedin in the case of Commissioner of Taxation versus English, Scottish and Australian Bank, which stated that the word customer signifies a relationship in which the duration is not of essence. So the duration theory was overturned. A person whose money has been accepted by a bank on the footing that the bank undertakes to honor the checks upon or up to the amount standing to his credit is a customer of the bank in the sense of the statute, irrespective of whether his connection is of long or short duration, which clearly establishes the fact that the duration theory has nothing to do with the meaning of a customer. Dr. Hart, again a leading authority on banking, defines a customer as one who has an account with a bank or for whom the banker habitually undertakes to act as such. Number one, the first part, need to have an account. The second part says, the banker gives him services on a regular basis. A complete and exhaustive definition of a customer given by Dr. Hart. In the case of Central Bank of India versus Gopinath Nair, decided by Kerala High Court, it was observed that the term customer is not defined in the Negotiable Instruments Act. We talk about customer, but it is not defined in the Negotiable Instruments Act. Broadly speaking, a customer is a person who has a habit of resorting to the same place or person. So number one, he has a habit of resorting to the same place, means the branch of a bank, or the person, which means a banker, to do a business, which is banking business. So far as banking transactions are concerned, he is a person whose money has been accepted on the footing that the banker will honor up to the amount standing to his credit, irrespective of his connection being of short or long standing. The customer may deposit his money, may not require banking services, unless and until the need arises. That does not take away his basic definition of being a customer from him just on the basis of his short or long standing. That means he doing a regular banking transaction or does only sometimes as and when the need arises. The basic criteria for being called as a customer is he should have an account and he can do a single transaction or a multiple transaction. So this is what we are trying to gather based on, again, various authorities, explanations and various judgments passed by high courts. We have an interesting case study in which one Mr. Huggins, he was a rate collector and was in the habit of cashing checks over the counter. Means he simply used to go to the counter, present the check and request the cash. He had been doing this for several years. The problem was no account was opened for Mr. Huggins. So Mr. Huggins was withdrawing cash across the counter on the basis of checks without opening an account. Only possible in case of bearer checks nowadays. But what had happened in this case? It was held that he was not a customer when he fraudulently obtained a check which was cashed through the bank as he was a regular visitor. In the current context also, if anybody has a bearer check, whether it belongs to him or not, and cashes across the counter, the same scenario will prevail wherein he won't be called as a customer simply because he presents a check for getting money out of it. The essence of being called a customer is he need to have an account. Only then he will be called the customer. Any services taken from the bank may not be a service offered only to a customer, as a non-customer can also take services from the bank, and this is a wonderful example of encashing any bearer checks across the counter. In the case of Great Western Railway Company versus London and County Banking Company Limited, it was decided that a customer is a person who has some sort of account, either deposit or current, or some other similar relationship with the bank, and from this it follows that any person may become a customer simply by opening a deposit or a current account, or by accepting an advance which is in the form of loan. He can also be called a customer on current or loan account, or even by accepting a deposit receipt in acknowledgement of money left with the banker. So in this case, we are getting a broader definition of a customer. On one side, we say a customer is a depositor, and on the other side, we also see a customer can also be a person who takes advance on his current account or a loan account. So a depositor as well as a borrower can be called a customer. Friends, let's look at some important explanations on the basis of the definition given by various experts and the high courts. To be a customer, the individual must have an account. Even a company, a firm, or a society who has a separate legal existence can be a customer, which means both the individual as well as non-individual. Individuals will be mostly natural persons, non-individuals will be artificial persons, which are considered on the basis of fulfillment of certain requirements, which we are going to see in our next chapter, chapter 12. After fulfilling the terms and conditions, they become eligible for opening an account. So it is not necessary that only individuals who are natural entities can open an account. It also includes a government department as well as a corporation incorporated under any law. When we talk about the dealings must be of banking nature. If you don't have a dealing in the form of banking, then the very business of banking is not performed, and hence we cannot call him a customer of a bank. And that banking nature, which also means either giving money to keep as a deposit, or taking loan for fulfilling whatever purpose he is taking the loan for. If one goes into a bank to have a draft issued and pays the relevant charges, he is not called a customer. Casual services rendered is not a banking nature, because we have seen the banking nature simply means you deposit money or you take a loan. So any other services in the form of casual nature will not make the person eligible to be called as a customer. Similarly, if one goes to a bank while he is abroad and changes a foreign currency, traveler's check, to the local currency, simply he converts his rupees into dollars when he goes to US, he is not a banking customer of that money changer or a bank in which he does the changing of currency. He is simply taking a casual service from the money changer or the bank, and hence he won't be called a customer. When he buys an insurance policy or a mutual fund scheme through a bank, bank is simply acting as an agent, hence he won't be called as a customer. The bank does not provide such services as provided to a customer, but it's simply an agency services provided to the customer or to anybody who wants to avail such services.